In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is in our midst. Today we're confronted by 10 men standing at a great distance due to the severity and grotesque nature of their condition. And these 10 men get everything they wanted, yet only one finds it necessary to give thanks to God for this. Leprosy was, especially in those days, very clear, yet slow and arduous and painful, pretty much a death sentence. But what made it even worse was that it was a sentence of exile as well, as this was a disease you had to endure separate from any people or community so as not to infect anybody else as well. The only people a leper could band together with was other lepers. This is why these groups were called bands of lepers, and sometimes there even exist leper colonies. And in today's gospel reading, we read about a band of 10 lepers, and these lepers were joined together, knowing that they had the same death sentence. The only community they had was one another, their fellow sick people. But for a little background, as we see later in the passage, one of these 10 was even worse off than the others. He was not only sick, but he was also a Samaritan. Even before he contracted leprosy, he was to the Jews and to the society around him unclean, a social leper, if you will. But today we see Jesus Christ, the light himself, walking through this village, and these 10 lepers cry out from a distance, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." These men banded together in their illness, while downtrodden and exiled from society, it was in that suffering that they recognized the person of Jesus Christ as their true Lord and Master. But notice here that Jesus does not tell them, as he does in so many other healing accounts, "You are healed, go on your way, sin no more," these kinds of things. But here he says, "Okay, go show yourselves to the priests." A bit peculiar if we don't understand the background to this. But this is because the priests were the social elite at that time who had the authority to brand or confirm that someone had been cleansed of their leprosy. And thus, this person could re-enter society as a normal citizen. So Jesus was telling them, "Okay, there's a procedure here. Follow the law. Follow the rules. Go see the priests." But as a leper, you would only go see the priests if you were healed. These men were still sick. They could have easily said, "That's not such a good idea. I don't think they're going to be very happy to see us. I'm not going to go see the priests right now." But we remember something significant. They already recognized Christ as who he was. They called him Master. So they were obedient to his command. And we learn in the gospel that it was on their way that they were made clean. Imagine that, walking on the path to show yourself to these priests. That hand that might have lost a finger or two from decay was made whole again. That limp from your leg withering away was healed. Those swollen boils and scars on your arms and legs, gone. If you were made clean from a disease such as leprosy, you would notice. And you would probably start running out of excitement, or maybe even fear. But where would you run? You could either run to the priests, who would be the ones to grant you your so desired social status once again. Maybe you'd run to your family. Maybe you'd run to a nearby theater or marketplace to be part of this social society once again. Or you could run to the one you just claimed as Lord, as Master. The one who, you know, just healed you. And it was at this point that one of them, the Samaritan of all people, upon noticing he was made clean, he immediately turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks, giving him his gratitude. But we notice Jesus' reaction here to only the one coming back to thank him. After all, there were originally 10 men who cried out to him as Master, as Lord, as teacher, as rabbi, essentially crying out to him, "We too are your disciples, have mercy on us." Which is why Jesus asked the grateful Samaritan leper, "Where are the other 9? Essentially, where are my other disciples? Of course, Jesus being God, he knew full well. The other nine chose the path, even though they were physically healed, they chose the path of spiritual blindness or illness. But let's be fair. Maybe we can identify with the other nine. After all, perhaps some of the nine thought, well, you know what, it's about time I was made healthy. It's not like I did anything to deserve this in the first place. Perhaps some thought, I'm finally healed. It's time to go back to my wife and kids finally. Perhaps some thought, you know what, I'm healed because of the work I've put in. I did this myself. Perhaps some thought, yeah, I should go thank Jesus, but I have a lot of other things to take care of first, so he's got to wait. Perhaps some of the nine thought, was I even sick in the first place? Or, and this is what I think, what difference does it make if I thank him or not? Too often we give into delusions and fantasies of pride, of self-indulgence, preventing us from offering gratitude for everything we have in our life. The righteous and thankful Samaritan leper chose Christ. He chose reconciliation and thanksgiving with his master, the Lord, over the recognition of men. Which is why Christ tells him, go your way in peace, your faith has made you well. But the Greek reads, epistisu sesokese, from the Greek soson, or to save. Perhaps a better translation would be then, your faith has saved you. All 10 lepers were made well, in the sense that they were healed of their bodily disease by the great physician Christ. But only the one made an offering of himself back to God in an act of glorification and thanksgiving. It was only he who was made whole. It was only he who was truly saved. So first we have to ask, are we humble enough to be obedient? To have that faith of the 10 lepers at the beginning, to even, while still inflicted with disease, hear the command of our master and follow through with faith. We cannot wait until the problems are over to start walking in faith. We cannot put conditions on God. We cannot say, Lord, as soon as there's enough money, then I'll follow your instructions. We should not pray, Lord, if you'll just solve this issue in my family, then I'll start going to church more or giving more. Sometimes God places a demand for faith on us before anything at all has changed. Secondly, are we strong enough to be grateful, to give gratitude, to give thanks to him who has made us well, who has made us whole, who has saved us? Does gratitude and thanksgiving occupy the prominent place it ought to in our prayers? Do we not ask for more things than we give thanks for? As St. Paul says to the Thessalonian church, in everything give thanks, in everything. To him be the glory, worship, and thanksgiving now and forever, to the ages of ages. Amen.